Wednesday, September 6, 2017, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, we bring you a new podcast every single Wednesday, and we do our best to bring you something different that you won't hear anywhere else. If you are sick of the same old sports talk that you find everywhere, a lot of hot takes that don't make sense, a lot of just nonsense and rumors and that kind of stuff, if you're sick of that kind of stuff, then this is going to be the place for you. You know, we try to look at sports with a little bit of a dose of common sense. Hopefully we could make you smile every once in a while. We do enjoy looking back at some sports history. If all that sounds good to you, then you're going to enjoy it here at the Daily Dose. There are a couple of different ways that you can participate in the show. You can go check out new articles. You can go find a link to the podcast every single week if you head over to our website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. And if you haven't noticed, over the past week or two, we've been putting up college football and NFL previews almost every single day. Go over there, check those out. Yes, they're a little bit snarky. They're a little bit tongue-in-cheek. We do tell you where we think everyone's going to end up, and we also kind of make fun of everyone that we put up there. But college football and NFL previews are up over at dailydosesports.wordpress.com. If you've got a question, maybe you have a comment, maybe there's something you would like to contribute to the show, about any subject, we would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com. You can also find us over on Twitter or Facebook, and you can get us there as well. That handle is @dailydosesports, D-A-L-Y-D-O-S-E, Daily Dose Sports. We'd love to hear from you. You know, we have really smart listeners that tune into the Daily Dose, and because of that, we actually want to hear what it is that you have to say. Hey, today on the show, we are bringing you our 2017 NFL preview show. Yes, the NFL season is here again. And as we like to do, we are going to break down exactly what to expect in the coming year. You know, I'm going to be joined in just a few minutes by Larry Incentennial, longtime friend of the show, who honestly, at this point, it seems like is more of a regular when it comes to these shows than just a special guest. We'll do our best to get you ready for the upcoming NFL season. You know, I do want to talk a little bit of college football. We saw our first full docket of games this past weekend. And of course, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5, always a staple of the show. You know, we're going to try to see if we can get Larry to contribute a little bit to the Daily Dose Top 5 this week. Okay, so we did have our first full weekend of college football. Did you enjoy college football? Kind of started Thursday night, a little bit on Friday, and then a big full slate of games on Saturday, a couple Sunday. There was even one on Monday. It was just a nice full weekend for the long weekend of college football. Love getting college football back. We talked about it last week. I love that college football is back. It's exciting. You've got players that are going out there playing as hard as they can for everything they have, trying to make a name for themselves. College football just, it's an exciting, exciting brand of football. Love college football. Glad that it's back. But as we look back over week one, you know, it makes me think we've got some good news. I need some good news, baby. And some teams also got some bad news. And for some teams, it was a little bit of both. You know, in the opening weekend of college football, sometimes you get good news. You look at your game, maybe you had a big win, maybe you had something great happen. Sometimes it's not all good news. And so this week, I want to just kind of look at good news and bad news for a few different teams in the world of college football. I'll show you what I'm talking about. First team up. Gonna talk a little bit about one of my picks that I had going to the college football playoff this year, Florida State. There was some good news. I know you might not think so. There was some good news for the Florida State Seminoles. Hey, good news. You hung with the number one team in the country for about three quarters. I need some good news, baby. That's not bad. Your defense, I told you it was going to be very good. Florida State's defense held Alabama to just 269 total yards. That's pretty good, isn't it? But you did get some bad news. Because the bad news is you only managed 250 yards, and your starting quarterback, DeAndre Francois, is now gone for the season with a knee injury. I know we said that the Seminoles could rebound from a week one loss to Alabama. Yeah, you're not rebounding from that. I know it's barely September, but the bad news, Florida State, there's always next year. I'll give you another team. Hey, speaking of that number one team in the land, Alabama. Good news for Alabama. They managed to beat Florida State 24-7. I need some good news. hey, that's the number three team in the country. That's pretty good. But I've got some bad news for Alabama as well. Because the bad news is you lost outside linebackers Terrell Lewis and Christian Miller for the rest of the season. That could provide a serious depth problem for the Alabama Crimson Tide. And the worst part is it's on the defensive side. Oh, and by the way, your offense still doesn't look very good. This might be the year we actually do see someone else in the SEC knock off the Crimson Tide. It's not all good news down at Alabama. Got a couple more here. Some good news and some bad news. Hey, what about the UCLA Bruins out in the Pac-12? Good news for them. They somehow managed to come back from a 34-point deficit to beat Texas A&M. They beat them 45-44 in the final seconds on Sunday night. I need some good news, baby. That's pretty good, isn't it? Amazing comeback. Bruins quarterback Josh Rosen threw for nearly 500 yards in the win. It's pretty good. There is a little bit of bad news for UCLA. And the bad news is mostly that you were down by 34 points to Texas A&M. I mean, this isn't Johnny Manziel Texas A&M. This isn't even like Corey Pullig or Reggie McNeil Texas A&M. This is a pretty below average Aggies team, isn't it? Why in the world were you down 44-10 to this team? And again, kind of goes back to the other thing we've been talking about. Your schedule's about to get tougher. Like, you have to go through the Pac-12. You're struggling with Texas A&M? Yeah, that's bad news for UCLA. I've got one last team here to throw on. The University of Colorado. Yes, I'm going to be a bit of a homer. Of course, I am here in Colorado. The good news, you beat in-state rival Colorado State. And I know Colorado versus Colorado State, not a national game. But here in Colorado, it's a pretty big deal. And hey, good news for Colorado. They did beat Colorado State 17-3 on Friday night. I need some good news, baby. It's pretty good, I guess. But the bad news is that was about as ugly a win as I've seen. Colorado State was horrible, turned the ball over way too often. Colorado got a few favorable calls from the referees. And Colorado couldn't generate any consistent offense against a defense that I don't think they're going to be that good, are they? They're probably going to be pretty average. That doesn't bode well for the University of Colorado as they get ready to go into a Pac-12 schedule as well. You struggled with Colorado State, maybe one of the better Mountain West teams, but hardly a Pac-12 team. It's some good news. You got the win, I guess. It was an ugly win. Wasn't very fun to watch. And things are going to get a lot tougher for Colorado. Take the good with the bad, right? Hey, we do have some decent college football games this weekend. In fact, week two, it might be better than week one. Here's a couple games to just keep in the back of your mind. I know NFL is starting. NFL is king. I get that. But there's some really, really good college games coming. Pitt goes to Penn State. That's a big rivalry game. Boise State goes to Washington State. That might be a lot more interesting than people would think. You know, Nebraska is at Oregon this week. Number 15, Georgia, goes to Notre Dame. Not quite sure what we have in Notre Dame. Number 12, Auburn, goes to number 5, Clemson. Okay, it's getting better. It's getting better. Number 14, Stanford, goes to number 4, USC. Wow, that's pretty good. That's a really good game. And then number 7, Oklahoma, goes to number 2, Ohio State. Yes, it's going to be a really, really fun weekend of college football. And I'm telling you right now, I'm not doing anything this weekend. Like, I'm sitting and I'm watching college football as long as I possibly can until the NFL kicks in. And then I guess I'll watch that. It's going to be a really, really unproductive weekend for me. I'm telling you right now, because there's some really good football coming up. Okay, we've got a lot to get to. Coming back, Larry and I are going to be breaking down each division in the NFL. We're going to be taking a look at who the teams are that could move up into contention, who might be heading in the wrong direction. We will even give you our pick for Super Bowl 52 as we have our Daily Dose NFL preview. And of course, we have the Daily Dose Top 5. You know that you have to stick around for that.
Movies, anime, comics, video games, and pop culture. These are but mere playthings for the manliest beings in all of podcasting history, the Powerful Nerdcast. hosted by the gurus of geekdom, Corey and Christian. Join them each week to discuss all things nerd culture, everything from Star Wars to Dragon Ball Z, and everything in between. Find the powerful Nerdcast on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network at rogueintel.com.
Ever since the hobbits threw the ring into that stupid volcano, I've needed a new one. I go to rogueintel.com/Amazon and I order my new processes. Go! Go! Process!
I am joined right now by someone, you know, that I would like to say is a longtime friend of the show, but at this point, honestly, it feels like Larry is kind of an honorary host of the Daily Dose. Larry, thank you for being here for another NFL preview.
Hey, Clint, thanks for having me. What a pleasure. I'm still going to stick to the guest part of that.
No.
I can't even come close to being part of what you do week in, week out, so...
You know, Larry, we usually do this NFL preview from Winter Park, Colorado, as our families tend to get together up there whenever we can. And to be completely transparent, we were supposed to do that over this past Labor Day weekend. Unfortunately, I left my recording studio in a bag sitting in my bedroom. So instead, we went to Winter Park, we had a few drinks, we had some great food, and we didn't record anything. So now we're still going to get this done. You, of course, are an honorary co-host of the show, so you know the drill. We are going to head into this upcoming NFL season, which should be a very interesting season.
Yes, and to backtrack just a little bit, yeah, it's always enjoyable going up to Winter Park and doing the show. Can't do it with the gear, you know, by the door. So,
right.
So next time, Clint, I'll commit to giving you a reminder about that.
Perfect.
It is always fun, but still... Happy to do it. Yeah, what the best time of year right now, right?
Absolutely. College football rolling, NFL getting started. Always an exciting time of the year. The fall, does it get any better? I mean, it's a fun time of year. Sports-wise, you finally get some stuff to talk about. You've been dying all summer for something, and now we have it. Let's jump into the NFL, because, you know, there's some interesting NFL storylines, I think, coming up this season. And the first one, I think, that comes to mind, at least for me, is who can beat the New England Patriots? Because there's talk... Hey, Patriots might go undefeated, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But as we look into this NFL season, I guess one thing we should be thinking about, who are the teams out there that might be able to knock off the big, bad Patriots?
Yeah, and I'm not a big go undefeated type guy. You know, it's just, I know there's teams that have come close, and the Patriots obviously had the one regular season undefeated. You know, it's just... so hard.
It's so hard.
And we've seen it already. There have to be some people that have backed off that prediction now with the couple injuries that the Patriots have taken. And I know that they're a good team, but man, it's just so hard to put together 16 weeks of football and not expect that you might lose one game. I'm not going to predict an undefeated season from anybody, and I certainly actually think that the Patriots can be beat.
I do too. And I'm glad you brought up the situation as far as injuries, because injuries are everywhere. We saw last year guys like J.J. Watt out. Already this year, Andrew Luck, we don't know when he's coming back. Cam Newton is not 100%. Joe Flacco is still battling a back injury. Injuries are everywhere in the NFL, and that is just part of this league. That is just part of this game.
Yeah, we're not going to get around them. The injuries don't make the NFL great, obviously.
No.
But players that come in and get chances... some good stories have come out of that, and I think that's the way it should be. You know, it puts a lot of pressure on the front offices to have a team, have a plan B if they need it. And then at the end of the year, we've seen it before. The best teams, you know, aren't always the ones playing in the playoffs.
You're right.
The teams that can withstand season-long of battery and injuries and come out on the other end. Absolutely.
You know, one of the things I kind of want to watch this year is where have all the great quarterbacks gone? We've talked about this recently on the show here, and the NFL has kind of reached a point where the quarterback talent is pretty watered down. Like, I'm not sure if I remember it being this bad in recent history, and I know it's cyclical, and I know it'll probably come back, but there are some really bad quarterbacks in this league. And I don't mean just in the league. I mean starting in the league. Not only are we seeing bad quarterback play, but we're seeing below average offensive line play, and I have to think, you know, these two things are related just across the board. Yes, we see good quarterbacks out there, but there are some really, really bad quarterbacks across the league, and like I said, they're not just there, they're starting and they're playing significant minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. I had asked you this question the other day, like, if you could take give me like five quarterbacks on teams that are playing today that you want, but you would have them for, say, the next 6 or 7 years.
See, that changes everything.
Right, because you weed out all the old guys, right?
Yes, the Rodgers and the Bradys and the
Breezes. Yep, sure. Exactly. And then if you know and you have to commit to a quarterback that's out there in the league right now, and I came up with a few of them, but there's not that many.
No.
You can name them. I think there's five of them. You know, I had guys like Mariota,
yeah,
who was probably my number one.
So you get one quarterback. You get one quarterback. You've got to take him for the next, let's say, 6 years. We'll put it just over the five.
Yeah.
Who
yeah.
is your guy? Who would you take?
I would take Mariota right now.
Okay.
It's a close one between him and Carr.
Yeah, Derek Carr is very good.
There's a couple others, I think, but the list is very, very short.
You know, the interesting thing about both of those guys you named, and they would be the two guys that I would probably be thinking of as well, would be Derek Carr, Marcus Mariota. The two yeah. things that they kind of have in common, one, they don't make the huge brutal turnover. They're very, very good at not making the huge mistake. They have that in common. The one thing we're going to want to see in the next couple of years, are they capable of avoiding the big injury? And not that either one of these injuries this past year was their fault, but that is key. Today's NFL, can you avoid getting your leg broken? Because if you yeah. can't, you're not on the field.
Yeah, and on my short list also is Russell Wilson, but Russell Wilson's been injured. And,
yeah.
you know, I don't know that I would commit to him for 6 or 7 years, given his injury history. And the other thing you have to think about is exactly what you had said before, offensive line play.
Yeah.
You know, nobody knows if you can keep an offensive line intact for five really good years.
Sure.
You know, you can't. You know, they ebb and flow there, too. But you have to have a quarterback that's going to be able to maneuver through some of the holes in the offensive line, you know, over those years as well.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch the quarterback play this year, see who maybe does a little bit better than we think. A couple of
right.
players that see if they can live up to the potential and live up to the hype that we've seen so far. Quarterback play is going to be huge.
Yeah, and one of those is Stafford, right? I mean,
yes.
because they're banking on him being that
paying
guy.
Him big money.
And I was surprised, but, you know, we know well enough how difficult it is to really find somebody. And I guess if you find somebody that you like and you can lock him up, I guess you have to do that.
Yeah, you do. There's just not enough. There's not enough guys.
Right.
Like, you have a Matt Stafford, you say, well, maybe he's not the best, but he's the best that we can get. And we're going to have to pay him because we want to keep him. We sure don't want
right.
to go the other way. And have to, you
right.
know, get some schlub off the street. So, no, you got to take care of
right.
those guys. But, yeah, quarterback play is going to be interesting.
And that gives you the opportunity to, you know, not have to draft a franchise quarterback.
Right.
You know, stay as far away from that trap as you possibly can and draft out the rest of your roster.
Yeah,
so,
it's
yeah,
such a crapshoot.
I'm with you.
The other thing I want to see this year, and I guess we talk about this every single year we do these previews, who moves up? Who slides down? It seems to be the question at the start of every single NFL season, because every year we see teams move up and move down, and it's hard to tell. Like, we kind of think, well, this might be the team, but hey, last year we saw the Falcons, the Dolphins, the Cowboys, the Lions, the Raiders all move into playoff position, whereas we saw the Panthers, the Arizona Cardinals, Denver, Indianapolis take steps back. We know it's going to happen again this year. We just don't know who it's going to be.
Yeah. Isn't that the way it always is?
Yeah.
And that's great. You know, you like to see movement. Compare that to, you know, I guess basketball, where there's a lot of usual suspects that play year in, year out for the trophy.
Sure.
And, you know, football's a funny thing, right? You got 11 guys aside, and like we talked about before, if you get some injuries or if you get on a run, it's only one game, right? So that's what happens. It's fun to watch teams go up and down and be able to go up and down from worst to first and vice versa. That's what makes it fun.
Yeah, it is. It is. Let's jump in, because we've got some divisions to break down, and we're going to talk about a few different teams and maybe who we think could get better, who could get worse. But let's jump into the AFC East. And let's be real honest, this is a pretty bad division aside from one team. You have two teams that are just blatantly tanking in the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets. You have one team that has Jay Cutler as their starter, and then you've got the New England Patriots. Anything different going to come out of the AFC East other than we know the Patriots are going to dominate this division?
No, and we don't need to spend any more time on it. It's just no, it's the Patriots. You're spot on the tanking, and it's going to be embarrassing. But no, that's Patriots all the way, right?
Yeah, I think so. I want to throw this one thing out there. And I want to throw this out there, and you will appreciate this because you're a Denver Bronco fan. Here is one thing I just want to lob out here about the New England Patriots. we saw for years John Elway perform a number of comebacks, right?
Correct.
One of the greatest comeback guys of all time. I will say this, because the New England Patriots, we saw them have the biggest comeback in the history of the Super Bowl. I will say one thing about comebacks. Comebacks are fun. Comebacks are exciting. Comebacks are historic and all these things. Comebacks, sometimes they hide some major, major flaws that are wrong with your team. Because the New England Patriots, forgotten in everything is the fact you are down by 25 to the Atlanta Falcons. That's not an accident. There's something there, and you get all excited.
And you had to come back.
Yeah, and you had to come back, and you get all excited. Oh, what a great comeback. Why in the world were you down that much?
Well, yeah, I totally agree, and it's part of the reason why I think they can be beat.
I do, too.
However, nobody in their division is going to beat them.
You're exactly right. It won't be from the division. I think someone can beat them. I just don't think it's a divisional team. But I do think when we saw New England go out and make all these offseason moves, I think there's a very specific reason, because I think Bill Belichick looks at it and goes, hey, we should have lost that game. Like, we were down to the Falcons big. We should have lost that. We get hot and things roll right, and the Falcons do literally every single thing wrong that they possibly could, but it doesn't take away some of the flaws that we did see there. So,
yeah, and they have a schedule. I mean,
they do.
With their easy divisional schedule, they do have some tough games, and a couple of their tough games are going to be against AFC West opponents like Oakland, Denver, with a great defense.
Right.
They're going to have to play Carolina. So they're going to have to play a few games, and granted, they'll be up for those games.
Sure.
But that the game against Denver is in Denver. Then we'll see, but they're going to win that division easy.
Yeah, I don't like their pass rush, and I'm not sure about their offensive line and some receiver stuff, but we'll see.
Yeah, and I just noticed this, too. Looking at their schedule, they're at Oakland, at Pittsburgh, at Denver.
Yeah, they've got some tough games.
Their harder games are away.
Yeah. It's not going to be quite as easy as everyone's making this. AFC East is pretty easy. Let's move over to the other side, because on the NFC East, I realize the Dallas Cowboys should be the big dog, but their schedule is going to get a lot tougher. They played one of the softest schedules in the NFL this year. There are a couple teams, I think, in the NFC East that could give Dallas a fight, aren't there?
There are. This is a hard division for me to even understand and
me too.
Try and figure out. But yeah, they have to play Green Bay. They got to play Oakland and Denver. And Denver's at home, too. That's going to be a fun game. But I picked the Cowboys because I just don't know if any of the other three teams have anything to go on.
If the Giants just had a little bit of an offensive line, I would probably actually go with the Giants, but I just don't trust them enough, and we've seen what Eli does when he's under pressure.
Yeah.
You know the team I like in the East? I really like Philly, and I know they're young, and they're not there yet, but I really like what they're doing. I like the direction they're going. I think Carson Wentz is eventually going to be solid. I like the direction Philly's going. They don't have enough pieces quite yet.
They would have been the team. If I was to take a team over the Cowboys, Philly would have been the one. But compared to, you know, what Dallas put on the field last year, now I know they'll be a little bit different this year.
They should
be. People figure them out a little bit, right?
Yeah.
But I'd have to go with the Cowboys just based on what I know.
The one thing we don't know what's going to happen with Ezekiel Elliott, which would scare me just a little bit. And we don't know how their defense is going to look when they actually have to play some real teams. Because last year they got away with playing really bad offenses. I still don't think that's a very good defense.
Totally agree.
I think Dallas is the big dog, but I think that's going to be a really, really tight one. You know, the AFC North has some talent. The top three teams, they could be in a legitimate dogfight if they can just figure some things out. I guess Pittsburgh is the big dog of the AFC North, but I don't want to sleep on Baltimore. Their defense is young but very talented, and I know Cincinnati has no offensive line, but they have some major skill positions.
They do, and I think they've been that team that just gets close, right?
Yeah.
And they've got the talent. Everyone looking from the outside looks like, you know, they should win playoff games.
Right.
I took the Steelers.
I think they're
better. I just think they kind of know how to win, and I think they got better in the offseason this year.
Sure.
I think they're going to take that division. I hear what you're saying about Baltimore. I just don't have any faith in them.
Well, because you don't have any faith in Joe Flacco. He's awful.
Yeah.
He got hot one season. He won a Super Bowl, and everyone's like, oh, he's a Super Bowl quarterback. No, he's terrible. He's always been terrible. He got hot
right.
once.
And until they shed that contract and reinvest in some other players, I just don't think they can compete. Now, they always play those division games really, really tough.
Really tight,
right?
Yeah.
So I know they'll be pretty good. They'll win games that I don't think they probably have any business winning, but overall, I just don't think they can hang.
Cleveland's slowly getting better, aren't they? Like they're sort of heading in the right direction, maybe, possibly.
I think they got better by getting rid of Osweiler.
I think they probably did too. We're gonna definitely have to talk about Brock Osweiler here in a few painful minutes. Yeah. But I think they're heading in the right direction. They're just still awful.
Yeah, they're terrible. And it's hard to get out of that when
it
you're
is.
In it, as they very well know, because they've been in it for quite some time, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would say they're probably getting better. I don't know how you get any worse.
Right.
So,
well, I mean, like, you know, they draft a kid out of A&M. He looks like he's a legitimate player. They're putting right. some small pieces together. Like you said, yep. they can't get any worse. I think they're on the right track to at least getting back to being competitive. The thing that always worries me about Pittsburgh is that they can't beat New England. Like, for whatever reason,
yeah,
they can't beat the
right.
Patriots.
They cannot. And they're going to have to figure something out, because the likelihood of those two seeing each other is pretty good, let's
yeah.
face it. Two of the better teams in the AFC, so they got to be in the conversation for postseason. And yeah, they've struggled with the Patriots.
Let's switch over to the black and blue division. At least that's what it used to be called. The NFC North being the black and blue division, it's not always pretty to watch. This division is kind of the tale of who has quarterbacks and who doesn't. Green Bay has a quarterback. They're going to be very, very good. Detroit has a quarterback. They'll at least be competitive. I'm not sure about Minnesota and Chicago. They're trying to kind of figure their quarterback situation out.
Yeah, and gosh, I've thought that Detroit has been getting better year over year. But I think this is the year that Green Bay doesn't have the injuries that they've had in the past.
They've really been beat up. Yeah.
Yeah, they really have. And I think the law of averages kind of evens out on this one for Green Bay. I know they're probably the consensus pick for everybody, just because, you know, Aaron Rodgers is there. And I've watched him now, as much as I've hated to watch it, pull out these games in spectacular fashion.
Yeah.
Just really good.
And
I don't know that there's anybody else in that division that can do what he can do. And he's not old. Nobody's
going
to call him. Yeah, I think they do something good this year. I like the Packers in the division.
I do too. I like Green Bay a lot.
Too bad about Minnesota. I think they were on track, and they just, you know, get a couple bad breaks here and there, and all of a sudden your quarterback of the future is gone, and they don't
yeah.
know if he can ever play again.
Right.
And, man, it's just amazing how quickly things turn on a dime and can turn on a dime.
Yeah. You know, the one thing I want to see with Minnesota, I don't know that this can happen. If that offensive line could figure some things out and they could run the football effectively, I think Minnesota could be a very, very sneaky pick coming out of the NFC, because their defense is very, very good. The problem is, if you're depending on someone like Sam Bradford to lead your team anywhere, you're probably going
right.
to be disappointed. If they could run the football a little bit, Minnesota could be kind of a sneaky team, because they've got a very good defense.
Well, I like that, and I would agree with you. I'm going to take the Packers, but, you know, we've seen here that you don't need spectacular quarterback play.
No, you don't.
To win. You need a good quarterback, and you need a lot of other pieces.
Yep.
And if that defense does do, you know, what they could do, then they could be right there. Absolutely. Well, running the ball, like you said, is a key.
Right, and that's what scares me a little bit about Detroit. And I, like you said, I like Matt Stafford. I feel like Matt Stafford is finally learning how to play the quarterback position in the NFL. But he doesn't
yeah.
have enough around him that I feel
yeah.
like, hey, he's almost, I don't want to put him in Joe Flacco territory, but he's almost there where he has to carry everything.
Yeah.
He's better than Flacco, but that's a tough thing to do. Like, you got to be really, really good to be able to just carry an NFL franchise. You got the Bears. Now, if you're John Fox, and we know John Fox obviously being in Denver, do you play Mitchell Trubisky and lose because he's a rookie and it's going to be tough? Or do you play Mike Glennon and also lose?
Well, you know, I think that's something that the folks in Denver had to try and figure out with Lynch, but I think it depends on Trubisky. I think you have to gauge kind of the mental capacity of a young player like that. And if he has the ability
yeah.
to go out there and understand that he's a rookie
right.
and he's going to make mistakes, but that he also understands that he can bounce back and not get destroyed, you know, his confidence get destroyed, then I say you play him. But if your, you know, in-house psychologist says, hey, this guy is a little bit fragile,
yeah.
and if we put him out there, we're in trouble, then I think you don't. It really depends on the makeup of the guy, because we saw him. I think he looks like a player.
He looks
I think he's going to be a player.
Could be very good, yeah. He's got
yeah.
a chance. The funny thing is,
yeah.
of course, you've got the fans in Chicago. They're all, you know, clamoring for Trubisky. Fans
right.
across the NFL are hoping for Trubisky. You know who else is hoping for Trubisky? Opposing defenses. Like, they're really, really hoping. Oh, yeah, you want to play him? Yeah, please do. We can't wait to see him in a real live-action game.
Right. And let's be honest. We saw him in preseason.
See?
Preseason.
Doesn't count.
And, yeah, and so I would agree. Yeah. But opposing defenses, yeah, put the guy in. We'd love to see him.
They can't wait to see him. They're praying you play him.
Well, it's completely unfair, right? Because we do this preseason circus where we trot these guys out there and, you know, a guy like Mitch Trubisky gets, you know, a little confidence. Man, it'll be a rude awakening.
We're just so excited for football that anything, you know, preseason comes, we're just like, yes, look how great he is. He's the best quarterback ever. And it's just because we're all fired up. We finally have football to watch.
In the third quarter of the second preseason game.
Exactly, exactly. And we're like, oh my goodness, should we get his bus ready for Canton?
Right. We love it. We love it that much, right?
Yeah, yeah, we totally do. Let's shift over to a division that has some interesting storylines with the quarterback position. There's some young quarterbacks in the AFC South. Some are really good. And some are really, really bad in the AFC South. The favorite, of course, to me is the Tennessee Titans. I love, like we talked about earlier, I love Marcus Mariota. I love the way he plays. But more importantly, I really like his offensive line and his running game. Their pass defense, not so good in Tennessee. I like what the Titans are bringing to the table, though.
I do, too. They're my pick. I know this is, you know, this might be one of those, hey, they did really well last year. They'll keep the momentum going. But, I think they showed that they're a young team that's on the path for improvement. They'll probably get a little more out of the division than they really want. I don't think it's a rollover division like the Patriots will have, obviously. Although, on the surface, I don't know where the Colts are going.
See, they can be bad.
I have no idea what the Texans are doing. I know they got a defense, but yeah. I have no idea what they're doing either.
And Jacksonville could be horrible.
So a case could be made for them rolling in that division based on, I think, the quality of their team.
Yeah.
The Titans, that is. So why not?
Right. You know, Indianapolis, with Andrew Luck, this is probably an average team, like a 7-9, 8-8. Without him, they could be seriously like a 2-14 kind of team. They're that bad.
Yeah. It's been unfortunate. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we were at the same place last year talking about Indianapolis.
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing.
It's Andrew Luck getting beat up week in, week out. And he can't carry the team, and he won't even play the first week because of, you know, injuries, right?
Yeah, and we don't know how long that's going to last. It's a shoulder.
Yeah.
It's not like it's a finger or something. You don't always know what the shoulder's going to do, and it's a spot that's probably going to take a few shots.
Correct. And I don't know. Tell me who their backup quarterback is.
Right. I think it's still Curtis Painter. It's Jack Trudeau. It might be Greg Landry. I know this. I know they're awful. Without Andrew Luck. That's a bad, bad football team. And you know, Jacksonville right there too, they named Blake Bortles the starter just because they didn't have anyone else. They didn't go get anyone else. Blake Bortles has no business being a starter in the NFL. Like he legitimately has the yips right now.
Yeah. Yeah, he can't throw the ball to a spot, and that could be embarrassing for them this year. Maybe he pulls it out. I gotta believe he's not as bad as he appears to be, but
no, he is.
If you watched it, you'd have to say that that's a fact. But what are they doing? I mean, what's the plan B there?
I don't know. They didn't make one. They went into the offseason. There were a couple guys out there available, and they basically said, no, we're with our guy. And then their guy came back worse. Their only hope is that they run the ball with Leonard Fournette. They literally never have to throw the ball. That is their only hope.
Yep.
Because if they have to throw the ball, he is horrible.
Yep, they're not going to be good at all.
I'm going to throw out one kind of a... I don't know what we want to call this conspiracy theory that I have in the AFC South, okay?
Okay.
We have seen in the past tragedies take a team to levels we never expected before. We saw the New Orleans Saints in Katrina. We saw, like, the Patriots after the Boston Marathon tragedy. We saw, I think maybe the Giants won the Super Bowl after 9/11, whatever. Could the Houston Texans somehow translate this hurricane horrible situation into some success? They've got a good defense. Their quarterback can't be any worse than it was last year. My problem is the offensive line is terrible, so it probably can't be any better either. But Maybe Houston sneak in on some people?
You're on to something there with the disaster theory there. I don't know if... let's put it this way. Irma comes through Miami.
Yeah.
Would you be able to say the same for the Dolphins?
No.
Yeah.
Or Jacksonville.
Right. Like, right. No,
makes no difference.
I mean, Houston's, you know, they're a funny one. They're a little bit tougher to gauge. We saw what kind of problems they had with quarterback, and they haven't solved that yet. So I think they'll probably struggle this year. We've seen up close and personal, when you don't know who your quarterback is, it's tough to have an identity. And
they don't know.
That can sometimes, alienate, you know, offense from defense, right?
Yeah. For sure. Well, we're going to just kind of put a pin in that. Keep that in the back of your mind. If Houston somehow has this amazing season, don't forget that we kind of called this back in, you know, almost August, that we were saying, no, sometimes these things work out.
Yeah, daily dose, tracking on the theory. We'll do that.
Okay, let's shift over to the NFC South. And it's kind of funny because when you think of the NFC South, traditionally, you kind of think of these teams as being historically really bad teams, but they have represented the NFC in the past two Super Bowls. Not that those Super Bowls have gone that well, but NFC South, Buccaneers, Panthers, Falcons, Saints, all kind of tight. Who do you like coming out of the South?
Yeah, this is a fun division.
It is.
Because you got a little bit of everything. I took the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I did too.
But it was hard. You know, I could have taken... I think you can take any one of the four.
I do too.
And reason it out legitimately. You got the returning Super Bowl participant.
Yep.
You got the Panthers, who weren't too far away, although I got to be honest with you, I don't know what's going on there.
I don't either.
I know Super Bowl losers fall, but they fell hard.
Really hard.
And I'm not sure what to do with them. But they're a good team. You got to
have talent.
Know they're, the Saints, same thing. I mean, you know, they're just good. They lack on defense, but they win games. They'll win a bunch of games. And then the Buccaneers, who, you know, are a little bit, I perceive to be a little bit younger. You know, they've got some talent.
They do.
It looks like they're going in the right direction. I think that'll be a fun division to watch. And that's the kind of thing where it'll be a tiebreaker, maybe.
Right.
Separating the winner of the division. I think it's going to be that close.
I think it could be two.
Yeah.
I like what I've seen from Tampa. I like the defense. I like that they've gone out and got some weapons for Jameis. I'm scared to death of Jameis. Says all the right things, and then I see him on the field just doing dumb thing after dumb thing after dumb thing, and he seems like he's trying to do things right, but man, I'm watching Hard Knocks, and I'm just going, oh my goodness, will you just stop throwing these idiotic interceptions? You know, the problem I have with Carolina, and like you talked about, I think they're talented. Obviously, Cam Newton, very talented guy, but I always worry about teams when they say, like with Cam Newton, here's a guy who they have these, you know, letting him throw it, letting him run it, letting him do a lot of things. And then you hear someone say, okay, here's what we're going to do with Cam Newton. We're going to change everything he's ever done and make him this kind of a player.
Right.
That rarely works. Like, it might sound great in the meetings or in the press conference, but I don't want to change everything Cam does. I just kind of want to remove some of the dumb things he does. But he's too talented to put ties on him.
That's true, and I think there's proof of this, though. He, and we've seen this, he's unwilling to change.
Yeah, that always concerns you.
He is going to do what he wants to do, and to the detriment of the team, I think. Even if he said, I want to change, I'll do some things a little bit different, when decision time comes, he's going to do what he wants to do.
Right.
And I think that's always going to be the problem. There's no doubt he's talented, so you just got to kind of build whatever system around him and try to win that way. Cam Newton is super talented, and
that's
big and strong, and he's pretty accurate, and he can do lots of things. But he's not going to make traditional quarterback decision-making calls. We know that, and that's okay. You just have to be okay with it.
You know, you mentioned it a little bit with Carolina and about how far they fell after losing the Super Bowl. I really have that fear for Atlanta. I mean, they have it all on paper. You look at them paper-wise and you say, hey, Atlanta should be, again, heavy contender in the South. And I'm looking at them going, man, I remember those years in Denver. You lose a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's like you lost five Super Bowls at once, especially the way that they lost it. If they don't suffer from Super Bowl hangover, then there's no such thing as Super Bowl hangover. How could you not? That was brutal to watch.
The point you made about how you lost it. Those are the tough ones.
Yeah.
You can live with, and Seattle saw that too.
Sure.
I mean, how you lost a Super Bowl, I think, really bleeds over into the next season.
It does.
And you can either, if you got the right team chemistry, it's one thing. If you don't, then it's a completely different thing. And we'll see with Atlanta. I think Atlanta's got the right team chemistry. If I was to have to put money on it, I'd say they come back and are as good, you know, or comparable to last year. But, you know, they did really lose that in horrible fashion.
It was absolutely brutal. And the entire offseason has been spent talking about, so what was it like to lose that, you know, just again and again and again and again. And historically, the biggest comeback, and, you know, that wears on you, I think. I think that's a tough thing to battle back from. New Orleans, I think, is interesting, like you talked about. Good offense. They never have enough defense. They've got Adrian Peterson now. They've got kind of a weird logjam going at running back. Yeah. But the Saints will be interesting. See what they do. We always know Drew Brees is going to be very, very good. He always is. Okay, let's switch over to a division that is very near and dear to our hearts, the AFC West. It is the toughest division in the NFL. And if you tell me right now that it is a complete 180 from what I predict, I won't even be surprised. All four of these teams can win this division. All four of these teams could go 6-10, and it wouldn't shock me a bit. I don't know exactly what to expect in the AFC West this year.
I don't either. I think if we sat here and said that, oh, Raiders, lock, I think we're going with the easy pick. I think you're right. This may be a homer pick, but I took the Broncos out of this division.
Okay.
And the reason I did this is because I think a couple things have to happen. I think Simeon's got to stay healthy.
Yeah, because if Brock Osweiler goes in, I'm going to commit Harry Carey.
Correct. I mean, and there's so much that we can talk about with, you know, relation to the Broncos. But I think if Simeon stays healthy and our defense is as good as advertised, then I think we win the division. And I know that sounds like a homer pick, but, and hey, I know the Raiders are good, and I think the Chiefs are good. I think they're dealing with some things with their new quarterback that they're going to have to deal with over the course of the season. And that is not easy, right?
No.
I think from what I understand, they have intentions of switching quarterbacks during the season. I don't know how they're dealing with that in the locker room right now.
That's a splitter
that's
there.
That's going to wear on a team.
Yep.
And the Chargers, I think they're talented.
Very.
But you just don't know if that team, if the guys on the team are saying to themselves, where are we playing this year?
Right.
What's going on? And I know it doesn't mean a lot. You know, they have to show up in a stadium full of a bunch of people and play the game. But their families are interested in where they're going to be. They're interested in where they're going to be, and that's got to wear on you, too.
Well,
so,
you know what wears on you, I think, too, is that I don't know how many home games they're going to have. I think every single one of their games, it might be as much the opposing fans as it's going to be. L.A. doesn't care about the Chargers. Los Angeles could care. In fact, they hate the Chargers. They could be playing 16 away games this year.
You're absolutely right. And I got news for you. Home field advantage in football, there is one.
Yeah, there is.
There is a home field advantage. And I already told you about the gentleman I know who completely switched teams. He was a Chargers fan from way back in the day. Arden has stuff all over his man cave. He's all in. And this year he said he's out. He's like, I can't do it anymore. I'm done. I can't, you know, I can't roll with it.
So, I've heard from a few people saying that. They're done with the way ownership is operating. Yeah.
Can't be the only guy. I got to imagine there's lots of guys that are just, they don't want to buy a new jersey next year.
Can I throw out my theory on the Chargers?
Sure.
They're snake bit, and I'm going to tell you why. This is all Marty Schottenheimer karma. He went 13-3 and you fired him. You can't fire a guy that goes 13-3. It's bad voodoo. You don't do that. And they're still, they're snake bit for it.
I would not be surprised, and I'd be the happiest man in the world if that was the case. I remember that, and I think we were sitting around thinking, they did what?
Right. And I know, you know, conservative as it got, and I know he lost some games. You can't fire a guy that goes 13-3. Like, you can't. There's something morally wrong about that. You can't do it.
Yeah. Speaking of Marty Schottenheimer, he won a lot of games.
Yes, he did.
I don't know on the top of my head where he ranks in terms of winning percentage.
He's up there.
We played him plenty.
Yeah.
We know that he put together winning football teams.
Yes, he
did.
He
was an excellent coach.
Yeah, very, very good. Very underrated because he didn't win the big one, but he was as good as it got.
We just know we like to see him.
Yes, because we always beat him, and for whatever reason, John Elway particularly loved to see him. Like, John Elway just marked, oh, we're playing Marty, let's just highlight that one this week. I did go Raiders in this division, and I think Denver or Kansas City vying for a wild card in the division. Like you said, I don't like that locker room situation for the Chiefs. I think they are a bad game or two away from a split locker room, and that's always dangerous. I really like Derek Carr. I really hate that Oakland defense, though. And that scares me a lot. And hey, let's be real clear. The Raiders are in a similar situation to the Chargers. They don't draw anybody at home, and they're getting ready to bolt for Vegas. So I don't know, you know, how much of a home field advantage they're going to have this year.
Yeah, that's true. That's a great point about the Chargers a little more. But yeah, the Raiders are leaving too, and you're absolutely right. That's something they're going to have to deal with as well. On the Raiders note, though, you know, I think part of my decision making for not picking them in the division is because of Derek Carr and what we saw last year. If he goes out, do they?
Oh yeah, they don't have any other options.
Are they Cook? Is he their backup this year?
Yes, Connor Cook.
So I would even venture to say maybe, and this is a big maybe, our backup might be better than their backup.
Don't you bring his name up? Don't you say his name? Let's talk a little bit about the Denver Broncos, because obviously we are both Denver Bronco fans. The Broncos cut T.J. Ward, made big news over the weekend that they cut T.J. Ward, and I know there's a number of people wondering why. The guy's not healthy.
Yeah.
He hasn't played since November last year, I don't think.
Yeah, we didn't see him on the field, and we've talked about it. That's got to really be hard, and it is hard. It's hard to watch one of your best guys not get invited back.
Just physically, I don't think he can do it.
Yeah, well, again, we didn't see him.
No, we didn't see him December last year, and he's had all year, and we haven't seen him on the field in the preseason yet. I'm assuming he just physically can't go. I know Tampa went and signed him, and Tampa feels like it, but I also know Tampa drafted Roberto Aguayo, so let's slow down on Tampa's finding the diamond in the rough here.
No doubt.
They might not have the best personnel scouts.
Right, and he's got to pass a physical, and he's got to get on the field, and Tampa might actually be looking at him as really the locker room presence.
Yeah, let's be honest. And I could understand that.
And he does have that. If you believe everything you read and hear, T.J. Ward made a huge impact on the Denver locker room.
Yeah, he did.
And you love it. Yep. But also, you have to allow some younger guys to fulfill that role so that you have that going forward. And, you know, I think Bronco leadership believes we have that, I don't think they would have made that choice. I think they've seen enough, and there are some other guys on the team to fulfill a leadership role that we didn't have before T.J. Ward came to town.
Well, they're very big on Justin Simmons. They're very big on Will Parks, and understandably so. Both of those guys had to step in last year when he was out, play significant minutes, and they did pretty well in the system. These are young draft picks that are coming on. I think they felt like, hey, we've got guys that are capable. Here's a guy costing us a ton of money, and we can't ever get him on the field. So I don't like the move from a personal standpoint, but I understand the business side of it. Now, on the other side, the Brock Osweiler thing. Yes. If Brock Osweiler gets in a game, I genuinely worry for the safety of him and everyone down on the field if it's a home game.
Yeah.
This town hates his guts.
Yeah, there's no doubt. He left us high and dry, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thought. And and now he's back. It's just very odd. It's very strange that we're even in this predicament. But, geez, here we are.
Oh, if you wrote it, you'd say it was
unbelievable. No one could have predicted.
No, it's like a soap opera that everyone would be like, that'll never happen. That will never happen. No, it's happening.
Correct. And who's paying his salary, by the way?
Well, Cleveland's giving him like $12 million, and we're giving him like $7 or something. But Cleveland's on the hook for $12 million of it. So Cleveland's paying our crappy backup quarterback.
Which makes it even stranger.
It really is. Yeah, it's just, you know, the thing I go back to, honestly, if I remember, and I might have the figures wrong, I believe when Mike McCoy was here as the offensive coordinator that first year under Peyton Manning, I believe he was involved in the choice to draft Brock Osweiler. He is now back as the offensive coordinator after 3 years in San Diego. And I think Mike McCoy looks at Brock and says, I can work with that guy, bring him back. That's my theory, and maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I think.
No, I think you're right, and I think that's probably going to be proven out if Simeon gets hurt. You know, let's be honest, it's going to take a while for our offensive line to mesh. I don't think they're quite there yet. So, Simeon's going to get hit a couple times. I think there's a good chance we see a backup, whoever it is, in the game. You know, in the first half of the season, and it'll be very interesting. We can only hope that it's during an away game.
Right. I can't even imagine the things are going to get thrown at the field if Brock somehow takes the field in the home game. All right. Yeah. You're going Broncos. Yeah. I'm going Raiders. I do like the Broncos. I still like that defense. I'm scared of Kansas City, and I think San Diego is going to be right there. And honestly, I could see it going San Diego first, KC second, Denver third. I mean, you could flip it. It's going to be so tight. This is such a competitive division. Any one of them could win it. Any one of them could go 5-11. It's a weird year this year as far as the AFC West and home fields. It's going to be, I mean, the Raiders. We think of the Oakland Raiders as this long-time diehard fans. Every single year, they are like dead last in attendance. Every year. That's not recent. That's not once we found out they're going to Vegas. That's been for years. And I know, I know some of it is the horrible stadium and situation and the fact you don't want to get shot when you go to the game. I get all that. But they don't sell out. They don't get people there.
Yeah, there's another reason. They haven't been any good.
That's true. That's 100% true. They've been horrible. Yep. Yeah, that doesn't help. All right, we can talk AFC West all day, and we basically have. Okay, we're shifting over to the NFC West, another division that, honestly, I think it might be a one-team race. But I guess you never know. I like Seattle. I think Seattle is poised for a huge season this year. I think they're, if they can figure out an offensive line, which, again, we could say that just about all the Big Tom teams, but if they can figure out an offensive line, if they can protect Russell Wilson, I think Seattle should run away with the NFC West. How are you seeing the NFC West developing?
Agreed.
Any other team that can contend?
No, I don't. No. I've jumped off the Cardinals bandwagon.
See, I keep trying to talk myself into them.
Yeah, I don't bother. I've done it, and I think it's over for them. I think they had a window of opportunity a couple years ago. That's passed. Rams stink. Yeah. 49ers stink. Seahawks all the way.
I keep trying to talk myself into Arizona. They've got talent on defense especially. And then I remember Carson Palmer, and then never mind.
You know, and I'm not down on the guy. I think he's a really good quarterback.
I think he was.
He was.
Yeah.
Right.
I think he's fractured now.
Right. And I think he just can't play in the big game. The few times he's had a chance, and they've had those chances, right?
Yeah.
It's not like he hasn't had the chance. They've had those chances, and he has not done well.
No.
So I wouldn't put my money on them.
I think the Rams could be better, only because they can't be worse. And I actually think the San Francisco 49ers, I think their defense is going to be very good for about 8 games until they just completely wear out because the offense is so bad, and then they, end up 4-12. But
I would totally agree with those scenarios.
Okay, absolutely. So we have gone through each and every division, and now I'm going to put you on the spot, and I'm going to ask you for your Super Bowl 52 pick. Who's it going to be?
I'm taking the Packers.
Packers over who?
Titans.
Packers over Titans. Oh, I like this.
Correct.
That's a good pick. I like that pick. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to just be completely stupid. I'm going to go with an old AFC West matchup. I'm going Raiders versus Seahawks. And I'm going Seahawks with the win. Yeah.
I like that.
And then the Raiders leave. They go to the Super Bowl and then they leave and go to Vegas. So you lose the Super Bowl and then you lose your team. Just an extra kick in the team.
It's the going away game.
Yes, it's the going away present for all the people who have supported us for years. Sorry we lost. See you later.
Sorry we lost. We don't really care.
We don't really care. We're going to Vegas. Bye-bye now.
I do like that. I think that would be fun. It gives us all a chance to say, you know, the only time the Seahawks have had a chance to win anything is after they left the AFC West.
Exactly.
Things were just too hard for them over here.
Well, you know what's funny? So we both, and we didn't discuss these picks going in. Neither one of us picked the Patriots.
Yeah, I think they're beatable. It could happen.
Yeah.
They're really good.
They are.
They have the propensity to just play really solid. You know, that's just kind of been their however many years.
Right.
But I think there are other good teams, and I think better teams than people realize when matched up against the Patriots. So,
yeah. Hey, do you think you can stick around and do a Daily Dose Top 5 with us?
Absolutely.
Okay. Hey, our Daily Dose Top 5 is coming up next. You never want to miss that. You know, we love the NFL season. We've covered it here. NFL football is king here in America. But what is it that we love so much? We're going to talk about that when we come right back. Hey, just a quick reminder. Be sure to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose and do any shopping that you may need to do right there. Of course, Loot Crate delivers the best in merchandising and collectibles, featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. You can go order a single crate. You can go order a subscription of crates that arrives every single month, or you can just go get individual items. The September crate is called Robotic, and it features items from Blade Runner, Aliens, and Star Trek. Loot Crate, of course, has any kind of merchandise you can think of, and it is quality licensed memorabilia. And you can always go back, you can order past crates, or you can order items from past crates. And the best part about ordering, when you place your order with Loot Crate, at checkout, just type in Daily Dose, DALYDOSE, in the coupon box. We will get you 10% off of your order. Now, if you would like to recommend the podcast, and we would appreciate that so much, please just let your friends, your family, your coworkers know. They can subscribe to the Daily Dose wherever fine podcasts are hosted. You can go to iTunes. You can go to pretty much anywhere that has podcasts. Of course, blogtalkradio.com. They've got every single episode, and if you follow us over there, you subscribe, you'll be sure never to miss a single episode. You can also click share. You can share the podcast with a friend. Maybe it's someone who's technically challenged, doesn't understand the whole podcast thing. You can help them listen to the Daily Dose as well. Also, make sure that you stop by our podcast network, RogueIntel.com. The Daily Dose is a proud member of the Rogue Intel Podcast Network, and they've got a number of other podcasts over there that you're going to like, you're going to get addicted to, and you're going to listen to every single week. So go check out a few of the other podcasts that are up over at RogueIntel.com. Now, as we do every single week, we've got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Of course, today we are talking with Larry about the start of the 2017 NFL season. And you know, I started thinking about, why is it that we love the NFL so much? Because it gets to this time of year, we all kind of lose our minds just a little bit, don't we? Like, we start getting all excited, start making weekend plans, start doing all these things because we love football season. And we especially love the NFL, at least here in these United States. So Larry, I thought maybe you could help us out today and you could help us count down the top five things that we love about the return of the NFL season.
Yeah, I love it. I can't wait. You know, I don't have a ton of sport that I love sports in general, but right. But I don't watch any other sport. Like, I watch and follow NFL football. So this is super fun for me. So I'm all in here.
Let's jump in here. What do you've got for your number five reason that you love the return of the NFL season?
Okay, so for my number five, yeah. Fantasy football.
Okay,
I like
that's
to play
a good one.
Fantasy football. I think it's made me more aware, more informed, you know, of
sure.
other teams and other players in the NFL. So, and I'm in a couple leagues, and one of them's with family. So I get to yeah. connect with my family, and we get to talk more than we usually do, you know, on a given day. So fantasy football is my number five.
I think that's a great one, and I think you bring up one that is huge just around everyone today. We love the NFL because we do love fantasy football. Everybody's got a fantasy football team. Everybody plays it on some level, and you keep up on teams just a little bit more because of your fantasy team. That's a great, great reason. I'm going to give yeah. you my number five. My number five is, I love the unexpected. You know, we see upsets. We see amazing catches. We see amazing runs. We see all these things, but we also see, like we talked about earlier, teams that we didn't think had a chance winning games that we gave them no chance in. You know, if we did a college football system where we voted the top teams into the final games, we would have missed it most seasons because it always seems like it's a team we never expected to get there. It is rare when both favorites make it all the way through, and I love that about the NFL. I know there's parity, but I love the fact that we don't know who it's going to be. Right now, there are 6-8 teams that could win it all, and we're not exactly sure who those teams are.
Yeah, we talked about it before, and you nailed it. It's the unexpected. It's the ability for teams to do so much better or inexplicably just do so much worse,
sure.
right? And
yeah.
When you could not, you know, have predicted it if you tried. So, yeah, that's a great one.
I think we're off to a good start. What do you have for number four, your reason you love the NFL?
My number four is, it's kind of a combination. It's what I like about the NFL. But it doesn't have to do with the start of the season. It's the off-season shenanigans that these players get.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Like, we can be entertained kind of season-long.
Yeah.
And I know some of these things aren't really joking matters, but some of them are. You know, the injuries
sure they are.
That they get themselves into, and just the stupidity of, you know, shooting your own leg,
right.
You know, things like that. It's good family fun.
I love that. That's a great reason. I'm going to go with my number four. You know my number four? And again, it's kind of as we get further into the season, but we are from Colorado. We kind of like the cold. We like fall. You know, I actually love winter. I love NFL weather. And it's funny because I'll see someone like on, I don't know, on social media or something, and we'll post about how like, hey, we've got 18 inches of snow in Colorado and it's a whiteout or whatever. And like people from, I don't know, down south or California or whatever, they'll comment like, oh, well, it's 75 here. And I'm thinking, do you think we're complaining? Like, we're bragging. We love it. I feel bad for you. I love the weather that comes with football season. And I think of the great weather games we've seen. The Fog Bowl, the Vinatieri kick in the snow at Foxborough, the winds in the Meadowlands or San Francisco or whatever, you know, monsoons in Florida. And we've seen great snow games here in Denver. I love NFL weather. I love it.
Yeah, that's really good too. You know, and you're right. It's the one game, right, that gets played for the most part. And doesn't really matter what the weather condition is, right?
I mean, you just play it.
It's not lightning within 3 miles these days, right?
Right,
but,
right.
That has made for some great, memorable games. You're absolutely right. That's an awesome one.
All right, moving on to number three.
All right. So my number three is kind of about the NFL as a whole. It's just more accessible. Like, if you want to watch replays of games, you can see it. You know?
Yeah, you're right.
It's just over the last few years and maybe more than that, They've just given us the ability to see more games. I know a lot of people say it's overkill, but, and at times it is.
Sure.
Some bad matchups and things like that, but we get to see it. It's awesome. You know, we got games all over the place and they're all on TV. I love it.
Well, and that's a great point, and I like that you brought that up because I know for me, like the red zone, does it get any better than that? I just watched the great plays. You just watched the scoring plays or what? It is amazing. It is the greatest thing ever. Oh, so good. You're right. You know, you're exactly right. That's a really good point. Yeah, no, the access that we have to NFL games now, where you're just right in the middle of it all, and that's a really, really good one.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a weird one for my number three, okay? It's kind of weird. Am I crazy? Or, like, are NFL helmets, like, the coolest thing ever? Like, they're super shiny. They, like, sparkle. The lights are bouncing off of them. Like, they hide the faces of the athletes. They make these guys look like gladiators. NFL helmets are like the coolest thing ever.
Well, and you know, because you played football, when you put a helmet on, and pads then as well, it makes you feel like you can run through a brick wall.
Oh, sure.
And the helmet itself is just the symbol of that, I think. That's a good one. Yeah, and they have cool face masks.
They do.
And if you think, if you could all have, like the quarterbacks do, have a radio in there.
Right.
And you can hear things. I mean, let's all have a helmet.
Football helmets are really cool.
They are.
All right. We're moving on to number two. What is your number two reason you love the NFL?
Number two for me is going to the games. So,
sure.
You know, I'm a season ticket holder for the Broncos.
Yeah.
I love going to the games. I can't wait for Monday. I'm just super excited to go. It's, you know, they don't always end like you want them to, but the atmosphere is cool. It's fun. There's, you know, tons of people. Everybody's rooting for the home team. I love going to the games.
No, I don't blame you there. And to be a part of a game when you have, you know, it's a great comeback or it's a great win, and the instant bond you have with these people that you don't even know sitting around you, and everybody, all of a sudden, religion, race, none of it matters. We are Bronco fans and we love each other, and that's just how it is. It's amazing.
Now, I've high-fived people that, you know, if I met them on the street, I wouldn't even look at,
sure,
you know, after a touchdown or something like that. So,
yeah.
And I get, you know, that's probably one, it should be on one of our lists too, how the quality of the game is risen dramatically by watching it on TV, because it really is crazy on TV.
Yeah,
you know,
all
the replays and everything. But I'll go to the games every chance I get. I do love it.
That's a good one. I'm going to go number two. I'm going to go with the NFL schedule, because, you know, the NFL schedule basically allows for me to sit on the couch for one full entire day without moving. And, like, it's even better, and I'm not for us playing games in London, but when we get a game starting at, like, 7 a.m., like, you just roll out of bed and you're just watching football all day. Like, typical Sunday, at least here in Colorado, you get the 11 o'clock game, then you get the 2 o'clock game, then you get the 6 p.m. Sunday night game. It is a beautiful thing every week. You can just sit there and soak in every single second. Sunday schedule is wonderful.
And remember what it used to be like? Like, you used to only have one game
on
in the afternoon
yeah.
or something like that because of the crazy scheduling rules. But now they're all over the place. And certainly, you know, in the non-NFL times, I get up on Sunday and I'll watch the Premier League. Like,
yeah.
So imagine just replacing that with the football game, like
right.
you just mentioned. Yeah. How glorious would that be?
Oh, it really is. Like when we were kids, maybe you got one game you could see at 11. Maybe you got one game at 2. That was it. And then you
right.
had the Monday night
right.
game. Those are the yeah. only games you saw. I'm still not on board with the Thursday night game. I'd rather watch college football that night, but that's me. But I understand it. But still, that Sunday schedule, oh, it's a wonderful thing. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And, you know, I know they don't nail it every time.
Right.
But they put a lot of hard work into the schedule itself.
Yeah,
so,
they do.
You know, getting the matchups that you want. You know, what better way to start the season like we did last year with Carolina and Denver.
Sure.
You know? And then the year, when was the year before when the Ravens had to play here in Denver after
right.
they won the Super Bowl?
Yeah. We got Kansas City and New England coming tomorrow night. No, it's a fun time of year when we get here.
Yep,
okay.
Yep.
We're down to number one.
Well, yeah, my number one for the NFL reasons was the Broncos. And total homer here, right?
Sure.
I'll fully admit it. But it's been a long time since we've, you know, had a tradition of losing. The Broncos go to the Super Bowl. What is it, an average of once every 7 years?
Something like that, yeah.
You know, something like that. It's
yeah, they've been to
lately,
eight.
There is just a tradition of winning, and I can't imagine being a fan of the Cleveland Browns or Jacksonville. We are lucky, I think, really, really lucky to have the tradition that we have now with a home team that cares about winning and goes about their business like they want to win every year. So I don't know that I'd like football or the NFL as much, you know, if I lived in a different city whose
sure.
team wasn't as interested in winning. It really does, I think, make me interested in the games and following my team, knowing that they're out there trying to win every year. So
well,
that's my number one.
And I completely understand that, and we are fortunate here in Denver. We have an owner in Pat Bowlen who, by the way, was passed over for the Pro Football Hall of
right.
Fame, which is absolutely ludicrous what he did. Not only with the Denver Broncos, but with the TV contracts and the revenue that was brought in for the NFL, he absolutely should be in Canton. And he will be eventually, but it's too bad that they passed him over again this year.
Yeah.
But what he did here in Denver, no, you're right. He built a team that every single year expects to contend for a Super Bowl. And when you think of where Denver came from and where this franchise started out at, that's pretty amazing. It
yeah,
truly is.
And agreed. You know, a lot of it's luck, I guess. You know, it's how Bowlen got a hold of the team, but he did, and we don't have to hash that out, you know, in terms of how things happen. It's just
sure.
really cool that we've got an owner that cares as much as he has over the years, and we've had great players, right? I mean, we have some pretty cool players to say we're part of the Denver Broncos.
Right.
Again, it's just, if I lived in another city where this wasn't the case, I might be more of a baseball fan, I would imagine.
Sure, no, I understand completely. Okay, I'm going to get to my number one reason that I love
right.
the NFL, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's totally self-absorbed. It is
okay.
because the NFL gives me subject matter to talk about here on the Daily Dose. No more talking about LeBron James or Carmelo Anthony or whether or not the Colorado Rockies are going to make that final push for a playoff spot. We know they aren't, and I don't care 1 ounce. It is finally here. We have bona fide football to talk about, and it is a beautiful thing. Larry, thank you so much for coming and hanging out, doing another NFL preview with us. You know we always love having you on the show. Like I said, hey, we always look forward to your visits. You're kind of just part of the show now. You're kind of just an honorary co-host at this point.
Well, like I said, I will not step into that seat. I will come anytime. I will be on the show anytime you want me to. It's always a pleasure, and I'll look forward to the next one. Clint, thank you very much.
Hey, next week on the show, we will be recapping the first full week of the NFL. And, you know, I would imagine that we're going to have a few overreactions to discuss. The second week of the college football season has some excellent matchups like we talked about, and we will be breaking those down. We will begin getting ready for that Canelo Alvarez versus Gennady Golovkin fight. That should be a great one. And as always, you need to make sure that you tune in for the Daily Dose Top 5. Hey, feel free to contact us with what's on your mind by emailing us at dailydosesports@gmail.com or find us over on Facebook or Twitter. I have to say thank you to all of you for tuning in for the 2017 NFL preview. We appreciate you being here so much. I've got to say thank you to Larry for always stopping by and joining us on the show. You know, we always look forward to your visits. Can't wait for the football season to get up and running. And Larry's going to have to stop by and discuss a few more things that are sure to be coming. Of course, I've got to say thank you to JSP. Could not do this show without all of you. I will see you all next week. Enjoy the first week of the NFL.